4. The Major Oak. I had a party inside that when I was 6 years old. There were at least a dozen of us, and I was scared stiff that the jam sandwiches would attract wasps from the nest that must have been hidden somewhere in its ancient bark. But they never came, and we had a wonderful time. There used to be an old man with a big leather satchel who stood here in the late 50s, when I wasn't too far off having children of my own, selling black and white photos of it for threepence each. I've got one somewhere buried away. People have always come here, always wanted to see this tree. My mum told me that Emmeline Pankhurst and 30 of her suffragettes once clambered inside. Because it's not just a tree, is it? It's also a story of a tree. A kind of portal between fact and fiction, a real living thing that vibrates with myth and legend. But when we were younger, Robin Hood wasn't a big thing to most of us. It was war stuff. The heroes were our fathers and uncles, and the baddie was Hitler, not the Sheriff of Nottingham. And it wasn't really the tree that the kids looked forward to on their Sunday walks here with Mum and Dad, but the ice cream from the Pizzuti's van. Cream and red and blue it was, with a bell. Garish, really. Sometimes I'd have an ice cream sandwich, which made me feel really grown up. You'd watch them do it with a machine, lay the ice cream between two wafers. A penny extra for chocolate ones, if Mum and Dad had had a good night out the evening before. I think they came from Mansfield Woodhouse, but when the war started, they vanished. And when the peace came and they returned to the forest, they were called Manfredis. There used to be ammunition storage huts near here too, no distance from the tree at all. Can you imagine? I remember the police coming to the school when the war started to tell us all that it was now very dangerous to go into the forest, that it was out of bounds, and they would be patrolling the entrances. But the boys always found a way in, the secret paths into the forest that only they knew, being proper forest folk. And every so often at assembly, the head teacher would call the Standard 7 boys to the front and tell them to empty their pockets. And you could hear all the ammunition spilling onto the floor. My room, 2 strokes. Things were so exciting here then. It was like everything came to life, what with all the security for the munitions that were stored in the forest and the different training camps. And everyone from the towns around seemed to come here to Edwinstow at night. There would be huge queues stretching 4 deep for the second showing at the cinema, with its red plush seats and chandeliers and restaurant. Soldiers from all over meeting women from the village who ended up marrying and moving away with them to different places when it was all over. And the Italians, of course, at the prisoner of war camp, who came down every night, arms wrapped around each other, singing away. You'd hear them all through the village, and they always stopped to talk to people. It was those in the new village, mainly, that would invite them in to their houses for a hot bath or to spend Christmas with them. Sit down and feed and welcome to our table. Perhaps they understood the pain of being away from home a little more than some in the old village. Perhaps it was because so many of us were missing the Pizzutis. I was at that cinema when it closed years later. I can't remember what the film was, though. Green and gold, that was what the usherettes wore. We all thought another one would come along and replace it, but we were wrong. It's all about transformation. That's what Chloe told me. That the forest she's making is a place where chaos rules and anything can happen, a place of freedom, where we're allowed to get lost and bump into lovers and fools and the strangest of creatures, where the rules are turned upside down and inside out. But that's not what this forest feels like to me. Not when you've walked these paths all your life and you know this tree is always here to greet you. Even if the ice cream seller's different and the fence is up and the man with his leather pouch has long gone, carrying his weight in coins. They say that 50 kings and queens have passed while this tree has been here, the monarch of the forest. And can you imagine it? This place back in the times of Shakespeare. Because it would have been as busy then as it was here during the war, as the timber was culled for houses and ships, and the great Elizabethan period, the first one, took hold. This, our life, exempt from public haunt, finds tongues in trees, books in the running brooks, sermons in stones, and good in everything. I would not change it. We should move on, although I'm in no hurry. So you might want to get yourself an ice cream, if you've not done so already, and count the number of people who have their photograph taken by that tree before you get to the bottom of the cone. Unless you really treat yourself and have an ice cream sandwich. So, as I said, we need to follow the major oak trail, which means we're heading off to the right. In no time at all, you'll come to two very old-looking trees on either side of the path. There are some benches on the right, and when you're there, go to the next track.